Oh God, we are so thankful for the way that you work in lives. And each one here who knows you can think back to when you worked in our heart and when you saved us. And ties into the book of Ephesians as we think about how you are to be blessed because you have given us so many rich blessings. Lord, now as we look into your word, would you open up the eyes of our hearts that we can see wonderful things from your word. Be with our time together. We pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. We are working through Ephesians, and I do want to remind you that we're selling these books just at cost. This is just the book of Ephesians, so that if you want to follow along, you can. Otherwise, I've got just the text we're going to be looking at that I'll have printed out. And instead of blanks to fill in the series, if you want to just follow along drawing what I'm drawing, you're welcome to do that as well. This last month, I bought a trailer because I need something to haul branches to the tree dump. But here's the thing about this trailer. This is a trailer that came in a box that requires the assembly to happen at home. And some of you are laughing because you know me and you know that I am not the kind of person that assembles a trailer from a box. So I'm working on it. But what do I do when I can't figure it out? I turn to YouTube and listen, there's 1,000 videos. You can learn anything you want to learn on YouTube or on the internet. Anything you want to know, you can know. You just have to take it upon yourselves and figure it out. Anything you want to know, you can know on your own. Except for one thing. You cannot know God without God. You can't know God without God. You can't just flex. You can't just say, I'm just going to figure it out. I'm just going to read a bunch of books. I can just figure out God. You don't have it in you to know God without God. In this text that we're going to look at tonight, what we're going to see is a prayer from the Apostle Paul. And it's really, we're just only going to look at the first half of this prayer. And what Paul is praying, he's praying that God would use the Holy Spirit to help the Ephesian Christians know who he is. That's what this is. It's just Paul's friend, God, I pray you'd help these people to know you. You're going to need to help them. And so my prayer as we look at this prayer and this chapter and this book is that God, through the Spirit, would help us to know him. I think it's kind of a humbling thing to realize that I can't know God. Like, I totally depend on the Holy Spirit for me to know him. So let's review a little bit about where we've been in the book so far as we get going here tonight. First, Paul has said this, that God is to be praised, he's to be blessed because of the blessings that come from the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And so these verses here talk about the blessings that came from God the Father. God chose us. Can you think of a better blessing? God the Father chose us. And then he talked about the spiritual blessings that come from God the Son. And the Son blesses us because through his blood we have redemption. And so the Son pours out blessings on us. And then the Holy Spirit gives us blessings. And the Holy Spirit seals us. And he's the first installment of our inheritance. And so it's just Father, Son, Spirit, they're blessing us with every spiritual blessing, and so praise be to God. That's where we've been. Now, in the rest of this chapter, chapter 1, what's going on is one long prayer. This is all a prayer, and we're only going to look at half of it tonight. And like I said, this prayer is asking God, would you help these Christians to know you? So let's kind of break it down a little bit just so you can see some of the structure of this prayer. We'll look at some of the structure and then we'll dive into the prayer itself. In this first section, in verses really here, 15 to 16, I'm going to call this the intro. Got to love my handwriting here. This is kind of like the occasion for the prayer. Why is Paul praying this? What inspires this prayer? That's what you have in verses 15 to 16. Then in verses 17 through the first part of verse 18, what you get is Paul's request. I'm just going to write an R for request. This is the basic thing Paul's asking for. And you see that really it's just this idea. May God give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. That's the heart of this request. So that's like the what. And then the next part, in verses 18b, through 19, the middle of 19, is kind of like the why. So, W for why. So it's like, here's the request. May God give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. And why on earth do you need the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit who reveals things when it comes to knowing God. Why do you need the Holy Spirit? Well, it's for three reasons. One reason in three ways. You need the Holy Spirit that you may know. So that you would know three things. Thing number one, what is? Thing number two, what are? Thing number three, what is? What is, what are, what is? You need the Holy Spirit in your life so that you would know three things. Number one, what is the hope to which He's called you? Number two, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints? And number three, what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe? Okay, so that's just kind of overview of where we're going tonight. You have the intro, you have the request, and then here's why you need the thing that I'm requesting on your behalf. Let's start by looking at verses 15 to 16. Here's the main thought that's going on in these two verses. He's telling them why he's praying for them in the first place. The occasion for this. Look at this in verse 16. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. He can't stop thanking God for them. I do not cease to give thanks. Why is he so thankful for them? Well, he's going to give the reason here in verse 15. He's about to give them, here's why every time I pray, I'm thanking God for you. Now, before we get to that, I love Mike's sermon this morning because in that Paul's talking about his weakness. And one of the phrases in there is he talks about his concern for all the churches. And he's like, no one's weak that I'm not weak. Right? And so you get a sense for Paul's heart, for he's going around, he's planting all these churches. And then what's he doing? He's praying for them. And I just love that Paul's the kind of guy, an arrogant man doesn't need to pray or doesn't think he needs to pray. But Paul, it's like morning comes, he's on his knees and he's thinking through the churches that he's planted. And then he comes to Ephesus and he's praying for them and he's remembering them in his prayers. Literally, that's he's making mention of them. It's kind of like he doesn't fail to make mention of them. And so he's remembering them. And as he's praying, he's filled with thanksgiving. Why? It's for this reason. In verse 15. What is it that inspires his thanks? It's because he's heard two things about these Christians. Because I have heard of two things he heard about them. Number one, he heard about their faith in the Lord Jesus. That's thing number one he heard about. And he heard about their love toward all the saints. That's thing number two. And so he's hearing this report for them. He planted the church. He lived there for a couple years. But then he's been away. It's been maybe 5 or 6 years that he's been away. And now he's hearing this report. The people in Ephesus are trusting God. And they're loving each other. Now, isn't that what you want if you're a church planter? You go away and you hear a report. They're still trusting God and they're still loving each other. That's what you want to hear. And so as he falls on his knees, he's, thank you, God. I can't stop thanking God for you guys. Notice this. He mentions your faith. He talks about faith. We're going to see this if we look over at chapter 2. He's going to talk about faith down here in verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. But notice this faith, it's the salvation and the faith is a gift of God. And so even though he talks about it, it's your faith, it's God has given you this faith. So he talks about faith, and he's like, you guys are trusting in the Lord. People are still coming to faith in Christ, and then they're loving one another. That's what fills his hearts with thanksgiving. So that's kind of the intro. That's why he's praying. That's why he's making these requests. Let's go ahead and look at the actual thing that he's praying for. Here's the actual request. Let me just read it. Starting in verse 16, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. This is the content of what he's praying for. But before I get into this, I want you to notice something. This is really cool. Notice this. He talks about, in these verses, the Lord Jesus Christ. He talks about the Father. He talks about the Spirit. Isn't that cool? Have you noticed how Trinitarian chapter 1 is in Ephesians? If you look at chapter 1, you get Father and Son and Holy Spirit. And then, again, in his prayer, he's mentioning the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Now, and there is an in-house debate about the Spirit. Some people are going to say this is not talking about the Holy Spirit, but this is talking about an attitude. That he's like, God's may God give you an attitude of wisdom and revelation, a spirit of wisdom and revelation. The problem with that is that human attitudes don't reveal things when it comes to the knowledge of God. That's something that the Holy Spirit does. So I think this is talking about the Holy Spirit who reveals things. Now, by the way, I love his description of God the Father. He calls him the Father of glory. So of glory, that's describing the Father. Saints, you don't have a weak Father. Aren't you glad about that? You don't have the Father of weakness or a father who is unreliable. You have the Father of glory. You and I as Christians, we can boast about our Father because he is all powerful. I just think that's amazing. We don't have someone that we're praying to that's unreliable, that we can't count on, that fills us with shame. He embarrasses us by the way he acts. No, he's the Father of glory. And so he's praying to this Father of glory. So of glory describes the Father. And then he's praying that the God of glory would give them the spirit of wisdom and of revelation. So it's the Father of glory, but it's the spirit of wisdom and of revelation. It's the Holy Spirit who gives wisdom, the Holy Spirit who gives revelation when it comes to, who reveals things when it comes to knowing God. You might think of it like this. You can list the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. These are things the Holy Spirit produces. I think it's a similar thing. The Spirit of wisdom, I think it's the Spirit who gives wisdom and the Spirit who reveals things to Christians when it comes to knowing God. This text is about knowing God. Notice the knowledge of him, hearts that are enlightened, knowing God. But we need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who reveals things to Christians when it comes to knowing God. That's the point. You can't just YouTube and know God. You can't know God without God. So Paul's praying, man, may God give you this Holy Spirit so that he would produce these things in you. I don't think, by the way, you could ask this question. Why is he asking God to give them the Holy Spirit? Doesn't the Holy Spirit already indwell them and live inside of them? Yes, the Spirit does. I don't think it's like they need a redo. I think it's just Paul's praying, would God produce these things in you, like wisdom, and may the Spirit reveal things to you when it comes to knowing God. The reason that Paul can pray this for these Christians is that they are these kind of people. They are the kind of people who have had the eyes of their hearts enlightened. I think probably a better way of translating this would be, since the eyes of your hearts have been enlightened. One commentator said it like this: it seems the author is saying, I know you're saved, that you have had the blinders of the devil removed, and because of this, I can now pray that you will fully understand and see the light of God's glorious revelation. Okay, so this is what Paul's praying for. May God give you the Holy Spirit so that he would reveal God to you, so that you would know God. Now, why is it that you need the Holy Spirit to be working in your heart? That's what we see next here in verses 18b through 19a, the why. You need the Holy Spirit that you may know. And that you may know three things. Let's talk about these three things one at a time. Number one, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. I want you to notice a connection between these words, hope and calling, because I'm going to show you some other verses where these are connected. Because God has called you, Christian, you have hope in life. If God didn't call you, you would have no hope in life. In fact, Paul would talk about how there are those who are without God and without hope in the world. Since God has called you, this idea of calling has the idea of a summons. God is calling you, commanding you to come into his family. Look elsewhere in Ephesians. If we go over to Ephesians chapter 4, we hear some more about the calling. Paul says this: I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Then he says this just a couple verses later: there's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one, what? Hope that belongs to your call. So do you see the connection between, since you've been called, you have hope? There's a hope that belongs to your calling. So Paul is praying here in chapter 1, may God give you the Holy Spirit so that he reveals God to you, so that you would know three things about God. Number one, that you would know what is the hope to which he has called you. By the way, I think one of the reasons God called you is that his desire for you is that you would not live a life of despair. Isn't that great? Like, God's heart for you, his desire for you, he doesn't want you walking through life in despair. He wants you to be filled with hope. That's one of the things God desires for you. I love that. I think that's amazing to think about God. Okay, the hope to which he has called you. Now let's look at the next thing. The next thing, you need the Holy Spirit in order that he would reveal God to you, that you may know what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And this is why you need the Holy Spirit working inside of you, that you know what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Okay, now there's another in-house debate here. The riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. I've actually changed my stance from the last time I preached this text at LBC. Okay, so be a good Berean and don't take my word for it. The riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Is this saying that saints are the inheritance that God receives? It could be saying that, and that's what I said the last time I preached this text years ago. That saints are the inheritance that God receives. Like, we are his, it says, we are his inheritance, or what are the riches of his inheritance? That's possible, and that's actually the commentator that I really love and respect. I'm reading through. That's the stance he takes. So with fear and trepidation, I take another stance. I don't think that we are the inheritance that God gets. And in part, it's because of how inheritance has been used elsewhere in this chapter. And so the word inheritance has shown up a couple other times. If we look back at chapter 1, verse 11, in him we have obtained an inheritance. So we're the ones receiving the inheritance of eternal life. And then also in chapter 1, the Holy Spirit, he is the down payment of our inheritance. So other places in chapter 1 is talking about inheritance. It's talking about the inheritance we receive. So I think it's God's inheritance in that he's the one giving it. Okay, that's maybe more than you asked for. But I think Paul's saying, man, you just need to realize, you need to grasp the incredible inheritance that God is giving to you as a Christian. And notice that the Holy Spirit is the down payment of that inheritance. And Jesus, it's through his blood that we have this inheritance. Notice the words Paul uses, the riches of this inheritance. It's a glorious inheritance. You know, Paul's writing as a prisoner, right? And we learned this morning about the many ways Paul suffered. All those times he received the 39 lashes. My favorite quote is, we don't know what Paul's face looked like, but we do know what his back looked like. And he's writing this from prison, and he's saying, I'm not poor. I'm not in despair. Man, I've got hope. I've got riches and a glorious inheritance. I think it's just like, if you want to endure life as a Christian, you got to cherish these things. You got to hold on to these things firmly. And so you need to know this, and you can't know it on your own. You need God the Spirit in order to comprehend these things. There's another reason why Paul is praying that they would have the Holy Spirit working in their lives to give them wisdom and revelation when it comes to knowing God. It's that they would know this. What is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe? Don't you love just all the words, the descriptive words Paul's using? Riches, glorious inheritance, and then immeasurable greatness of his power. Now, I'm only just going to barely mention it here because really we're going to get into this next week when we look at this. Because we're going to look in detail about the immeasurable greatness of his power that he exerts towards us. God doesn't just have power, he uses that power on our behalf. And do you need proof? Well, if you need proof, that's what the rest of this chapter is all about. It's like, do you need proof that God uses his power on our behalf? Let me give you a couple of verses of proof. It's just all the ways God uses his power. And that's where we're going to look next time. How does this apply to us? Guys, we serve an amazing God. Do you know him? Do you know him? Number one, have you been saved? Have you repented and believed in Christ? But number two, it's possible, I think, saints, for us to be saved and then just kind of have this idea of, well, I'm good. I passed the pass or fail test, and so I'm good. But God's desire is to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you know God more than you did last year? And it's a humbling thing, I think, to realize I can't just flex and know God more. I think the right prayer we ought to pray is to come before God and say, God, I long to know you. Would you, by the power of the Spirit, help me to know you more and more each day? Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the hope you give us, for the inheritance you give us, and for the power that you exert on our behalf. And I pray for us that you would, by the power of the Holy Spirit, help us to know you more than we did last year, more than we did last month. Lord, that you would fill us up with endurance as we reflect on the riches that we have in Christ. Be with us this week, Lord. Help us to live for you. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Thanks, everybody. You're dismissed.